Welcome to Victory Family Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. For sermon notes and videos relating to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
I prayed this afternoon. I prayed in the spirit for the service tonight. Anybody, first of all, did everybody get a handout? Last year, so pass them out if you didn't receive a handout. I want to make sure you have one of those. You can follow along. They'll be up on the PowerPoint also, but I gave you plenty of lines to make notes tonight, guys. So that's what those lines are for. But as I was praying for you tonight and praying about the service, I said, Lord, have the people that need to be here tonight to hear this word come. Make a way for them to come. He saw fit, right? So you ought to be excited about that because He has a due word for you in due season tonight. And I have a little bit of insight about what that word is, and it's exciting. It's a powerful scripture from God's word. How many of you are believing for some things? Amen. Come on, let me see your hands. How many of you believing for some things? That's cool. I pray with a lot of you and hang out with a lot of you. I know a lot of you are believing for some things. How many of you have been standing for a while, waiting for those things? All right, yeah, a few more hands. What I'm going to teach tonight... And I'm going to teach. I'm not going to preach. I'm going to try not to preach. I'm going to teach. There's a difference between teaching and preaching. I'm going to teach tonight. I'm in the process of writing a book. I've been in about a year now. And I've entitled that book, Disciplines of Faith. For most of my spiritual adulthood, I've endeavored to study faith. And I want to know everything there is to know about faith. I'm constantly reading faith books, and I'm constantly looking at Jesus and what He said about faith. Because the Bible says that the just are supposed to live by faith, right? So that's pretty important. And one of my favorite verses in the Bible, which is the main verse of the book that I'm writing, is 1 John 5:4. It says that our faith, say my faith, our faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So many people will say, well, I wish I had more faith, or I wish I had the faith of Keith Moore or Kenneth Hagin. I want to tell you tonight, guys, that you do have enough faith. You don't need their faith. God saw fit, it says in Romans 12:3, that He gave you the measure of faith. You got enough faith on the inside of you right now to believe and receive everything that you will ever need. You believe that? Hey, that He set you up. He set us all up. Get your eyes off other people and get it on what God says about you. He says that He's given you the measure of faith. It's not a matter of you needing more faith. It's a matter of developing and finding out that faith that you already have. Okay? And we're going to look at that a little bit tonight. I titled the book Disciplines of Faith, and that's what we're going to look at tonight, is one of those disciplines that the Lord showed me. And Paul calls them in Romans 4:12, the steps of faith. He calls them steps of faith. And Paul went on to say that we're to go from faith to faith and glory to glory. You've read that before. You've heard that. And disciplines of faith, as I was writing the book, and I'm writing it still, every time I think I'm about done, the Lord adds another chapter. So I'm not done with it yet, and I'm not sure when I'm going to be done, but you can be praying about that, and I'm excited about it. But disciplines of faith, when I got started writing the book, the Lord said, these are indicators. These are gauges. And just as we have indicators and gauges on our vehicle and on equipment and on appliances, those indicators or gauges are to keep us in check, to tell us when things are running efficiently, tell us when things are running properly. But on the other hand, they also tell us, gauges and these indicators on in the vehicles and on machineries and appliances, tell us when something's going wrong. Like you're almost out of gas, like your oil's low, you don't have any more windshield wiper fluid, your tires are low. And disciplines of faith, guys, are just that. They're to keep us on track. They're to keep us in line with what God's Word says. And you know as well as I do that anything worth having requires some discipline. Because in this world, the world is very undisciplined. And we're going to look at that also. But I'm going to teach on the discipline of standing tonight, to stand. Because the Bible is very clear on that we're to stand as Christians. And as I was praying in the Spirit today, I was praying back in the pre-service prayer room and just got quiet, and this is what I heard. This is what I believe, perceived the Lord was sharing and He wanted me to share with you. We're going to talk about standing tonight and to stand. And He gave me four illustrations from the Bible of four people that were not standing. They were laying down. Now, this wasn't part of my message, so I got to get through it quickly because I got a message to get done. But those four people were. I want you to. The Lord said, I want you to relate it to them because they might be in the position that these people were in. The first person is Lazarus. Remember Lazarus? He definitely wasn't standing, right? He was laying in the grave, and he was all wrapped up for his burial. Okay, and Jesus said, "Come forth," and Lazarus stood. And he came forth. How's that happen? All right. So what I want you to see tonight is maybe you're all wound up. Maybe you're depleted. Maybe you just feel like almost dead. God's got a word for you. He'll help you to stand tonight. He'll help you. Maybe you feel like you're all tangled up like Lazarus did. And he said, untie them. But Lazarus stood and was alive when he was dead. The other person I was thinking of, the Lord brought to my attention, was the lady with the issue of blood. The lady spent all she had, went to see many doctors and physicians, and was at her end, okay, until she heard of Jesus. And it said that she crawled. Picture this. She crawled, a lady with the issue of blood, sick, up in years, crawled on the ground through this crowd, but to touch the hem of His garment. And when she touched the hem of His garment, she was made whole. She got a touch from Jesus, and she was no longer on the ground, and she was standing, and she was whole and complete. Hallelujah. So maybe you've spent all that you've had, and maybe you have some kind of sickness, and maybe something's come against you, and maybe you've been standing for a while. Well, the Lord will want you to know tonight that He's here to pick you up. He's here to enable you to stand. Another one I was thinking about was Peter. Peter was kind of like, I relate myself to Peter. Peter kind of go-getter and just go out for it. Well, he jumped out of the boat and was walking on the water. Remember that? And then he looked at the waves and the wind and the storm and said he began to sink. But Jesus reached out His arm, reached out His hand. And what happened? Peter stood back up on the water. How's that happen? Maybe you feel like you're drowning. Maybe you're feeling like you're going under. Well, Jesus would want you to know tonight that He wants you to stand and He'll help you to stand. The last person is a lady I thought about, and you might be in this position tonight. Lady, it was caught in the act of adultery. And they threw her on the ground, and her accusers were pointing fingers and sneering at her, and they wanted Jesus to condemn her. And Jesus, you know the story. Well, I can't go into that right now tonight. But what happened was, is that lady who was down and out, probably shamed, the Lord reached down, picked her up off the ground, and all her accusers were gone. And you might be in that position tonight. You might be feeling like, man, you don't know what I'm going through, Pastor Chris. You don't know people are speaking of me and my life, and man, I'm just feeling like worthless. Well, Jesus is here to tell you tonight that you can stand, and He'll help you to stand. So I'm encouraged already. How about you? All right, I don't know where you're at tonight, but He does. And I'm just relaying His message, and He wants you to know tonight that you can stand, and you can stand in through Him. Listen, guys, in this world in which we live in, people have a very difficult time standing for anything. If you notice, people are going from here to there. They try this. If it doesn't suit them, they run over here. Nobody stays put anymore. People don't work in their vocations or in the same place anymore. It's just when it's not convenient, they move on. People are so easily swayed. You notice that? They're tossed to and fro, like the Bible says. They're like little John boats out in the ocean. And whenever a storm comes or the wind picks up, they're just tossed to and fro, and they don't really have any direction. But if it don't suit them, they go try something else. We are not to live that way. Do you know that as Christians? We are not to live that way. We are to stand. And when we've done all to stand, the Bible says, stand. By the end of tonight, I want everybody to be able to say, stand. All right? But we're in this world, but we're not of it. We see things from a different perspective. We're to see things from God's view. Okay? And I'm going to encourage you tonight through His Word, and I'm sure it'll encourage you that you'll be able to stand. According to God's Word, which this is how and what we base our lives on, we don't try to stand, we stand. It isn't a matter of trying it. Listen, so many people try to stand and keep on standing. It isn't a matter of trying, it's I'm going to stand. You try, there is no trying in standing. We're doing this by faith, guys. Okay? So, if you try it, it's going to try you. And you know there's many people that have tried standing on God's promises and then it backed off or they've given up and they've never received. I'm going to show you tonight how we can do that. How, Pastor Chris? And why is it so important for us to stand and to keep on standing? To receive. That's why. That's why we want to be able to stand. That's why God's told us to stand and keep standing. So we can receive. Receive what? Every perfect gift. Every good and perfect gift that He's laid up for you and I. That's why we want to be able to stand. The key verse is Hebrews 11:6. Hebrews 11:6. I know they have the on your handouts there. It says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So we see that we need faith, and we're really living by faith. We want to please our Heavenly Father. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For those who come to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek after Him. A lot of people believe that God is, but the second part of that verse is just as important as the first part, that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek after Him. You guys, He set you up for a reward tonight. You're diligently seeking after Him. You came to church on a Wednesday night. You should be expecting a reward. Amen? Amen. Just like our Sadie dog. We got a lab at home and she sits up and she wants a reward. You should be like that tonight. What am I going to get? What am I going to get? In order to stand, guys, I want you to know tonight, you're going to have to be able to do it by faith. We can't stand in and of ourselves. When all hell breaks loose, and you might be there tonight, when adversity comes, listen, the kind of standing we're talking about and the command that God has given us to stand, we can't do that in and of ourselves. We have to do it by faith. Okay? So whether it looks like it, whether it feels like it, whether it seems like it, the only way we're going to be able to stand the way God is wanting us to stand is by faith. And it goes right along with how we're supposed to live our lives, is by faith. Okay? Let's look at the definition of what it means to stand. The Webster's definition, it's in your handouts, and this is how most people think of the definition of to stand, means to take or maintain an upright position. Kind of like I'm doing right now. To be placed in or maintain an erect position. Okay? That's when, if you had asked most people on the outside what it means to stand, they would say, well, like what you're doing, standing. But I want you to see what the Bible definition, in the Greek, the definition to stand is to abide. That's a little different, right? To continue. One of my favorites is covenant. Wow. Listen to that. To stand means to abide, to continue in covenant. As we go along tonight, I want you to remember that definition of stand as we go through God's Word, because that's really not how we really tend to think of the word stand. Do you know that you can stand while you're working? Do you know that you can stand while you're sitting? Do you know that you can stand while you're driving your car? And do you know that you can stand when you're sleeping? Do you? God wants us to stand in all circumstances. Okay? God never tells us to do something or be something that He hasn't already enabled or equipped us to do. Guys, it wouldn't be fair for God to say, I want you to stand, and when you've done all to stand, stand. It wouldn't be fair if we weren't able to do that, or if we couldn't do that, right? And that's not our God. Our God is a just God. Our God enables us and equips us to do everything that He's listed out for us to have and that we can do. So first we need to settle it in our hearts. If He tells us to do something, we can do it. Say, I can do it. If God says it, I can do it. When you've done all to stand, the Bible says to stand. This is one of the most challenging disciplines, I think, that there is with the issue of faith. It's one of the most challenging ones. We could say that it's a lot easier said than done, right? Come on now. Come on, let's get real. I know it's difficult sometimes in my life. I've stood on some things and it wasn't easy. And you know, I'm still standing on some things. It's a whole lot easier to tell someone, hey, brother, hey, sister, just keep standing. Just keep believing. Right? It's a whole lot easier to say that than to have someone come to you when you've been standing for a while and you haven't seen the manifestation of what you're believing for, and they say to you, just stand, brother. Right? Come on now. It's a whole lot easier to tell someone else to stand than it is for them to tell us to stand when we've been standing and it doesn't look like anything's happening. Can I get an amen? Maybe that doesn't affect you. Maybe you get everything right away. Let's see how God said we can do this. Our passage is Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 16. Verses 10 to 16. Now I'm going to read it, and I'm using the New King James Version. We're going to read this together, and then I'm going to go down and we're going to teach on each one of the verses, okay? What God says for us to be able to stand. So here we go. And you can follow along in your outline or up on those screens. Finally, my brethren or sisters, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Hallelujah! Okay? So, let's go down through here and let's see what God wants to share with us tonight on how you and I are to stand. Verse number 10. It says, finally, my brother and sister, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Verse 10 gives us the key or the principle on how to function in this discipline of faith. Verse 10. He starts off right there with the answer. As we read that, it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Remember I told you before that we're not going to be able to do it in and of ourselves? The Lord's saying we don't have to do it in and of ourselves. We do it in His power. We do it in His might. Well, there you go, guys. There's the answer right there. We can wrap it up and go home early tonight. How do I stand? How do I stand when all hell's breaking? How do I stand in adverse situations? I stand in His power and His might. I want to share a couple things with you out of that verse. It's very powerful. The word power in that verse, the Greek word is kratos. You can write that down. K-R-A-T-O-S. Kratos is ruling power. Ruling power. And then in the power of His might, excuse me, is ischus. I-S-C-H-U-S is the Greek word for might. And it is endued power. Endued power. Listen, guys. That ruling power in His power goes all the way back to Genesis. And I just happen to be studying in Genesis right now in my daily devotions. And I'm looking at what God shared with Adam. I lost it for a second. What He shared with Adam. And He told Adam, He says, I want you to be fruitful and multiply and have dominion and authority over every living thing. Remember that, right? And then I'm reading on, and he said the exact same thing to Noah. When Noah came out of the ark with his boys and his families, he says, I want you to be fruitful and multiply and have dominion and authority, ruling power over this earth. And then it goes over a few more chapters. He has a talk with Abraham, and he tells Abraham, hey, Abraham, be fruitful and multiply and have dominion and authority over everything, living thing, you know. And we are called the children of Abraham. So wouldn't it be right to say that we are to be fruitful and multiply and have dominion and authority over this earth? You know it to be true. The Bible says it. Come on now. We don't have no problem with the being fruitful and multiplying. You know what I'm saying? Come on now. Come on, Pastor Steve. We don't have no problem with that, right? The fruitful and multiplying. Just look around. There's lots of people. Do I need Pastor Steve to come up? And I'm not going to get into it. I'll leave that for Pastor Steve to teach on that lesson. We don't have no problem with the be fruitful and multiply. But we do, we run into like roadblocks sometimes with the ruling and having authority over every living thing on this earth. We are to be ruling, guys. We are to be ruling. And we can in His power and His might. That endued power is what He's given to you and I in the power of the Holy Spirit. Praise God, when you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ and you got baptized in the Holy Spirit, we've been endued with power. We are set up, guys, to rule and reign in this earth. We are set up to stand up and to keep on standing and to receive our promises. So, the first indicator is how are we supposed to stand? The indicator on our cars and vehicles is everything's going all right here? Everything's is we're to do it in His power, in His might. We're to be ruling, and we are to be enduing power. Okay? We're to be doing it in His ruling power and His endued power. Verse number 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Whose armor? Come on, answer back. Whose armor? God's armor. What is His armor? The Word. This is another indicator right here, guys. Verse 11 says, put on the whole armor of God. You wouldn't know what that armor is without the Word of God. You cannot bypass the Word of God. The Word of God will tell you what you have, what you are, what you can be, what you can do. You can't bypass this Word. Okay? This is the only way that you're going to find everything that's available to you. We wouldn't even know how to stand without God's Word. Okay? So, got to be in the Word. But it's an indicator right here. Verse 11 isn't a suggestion to you and I. This is a command from God Almighty. It's a command, I said. It's a command. It's not a suggestion or, my son and daughter, I wish above all things that you would put on the whole armor of God. He says to put it on. So if God says to put it on, we need to put it on. Amen. And you know what? I've read this Bible through and through over and over, and I continue to read it over and over. And nowhere after that verse in Ephesians 6 do I see where He says to take that armor off. I never see it anywhere in the Bible after that. So if you find that, you come tell me, but I don't see that where He tells us to take that off. So, as I said, we're to be driving, we can stand, we're sleeping, we can do it in His power and in His might, and we can do it because we have the full armor of God on our side. How do we live? By faith. So we might not feel like we have the full armor of God on. It might not seem like I got the full armor of God on, but we believe it and we live by faith. Amen? I don't have to see it. I put it on. I put the full armor of God on. You put the full armor of God on, and then you believe that you have it on. You live like you have it on. Amen? You live like you have the full armor. Man, what would it look like if just this congregation right here, maybe 300 of us, walked out of this building tonight like we really believe we had the full armor of God on? And then we never took it off. Wow. Live like you have it on. so that you can stand, guys. That's the first mention of the word stand in verse 11. And it says, so that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The wiles of the devil? What's that? Meep, meep. Meep, meep. You know what that is? Old Wile E. Coyote. Roadrunner, you remember that? Come on, guys, you don't remember the Roadrunner? Whenever I see this verse, I think of the wiles of the devil. I think of the Wile E. Coyote. That slime ball coyote that was always trying to take the Roadrunner out and scheming and always trying to kill, steal, and destroy. That's a perfect image of the devil. And you know what else was about the Wile E. Coyote, the wiles of the devil? Loser. Loser. When did you ever see the Wile E. Coyote come out on top? Come on now. I always loved it when the anvil dropped on him. How he kept getting up from that, I don't know. But man, hey, that's just like the devil. It's just like the devil. So you might think that's a quirky story, but this is how I remember things, and I'd want you to remember tonight. The wiles of the devil, he's a persistent cuss. And just as that Wile E. Coyote kept coming after the Roadrunner, every week he was chasing him down, every week trying to take him out. The devil will try to do that to you and me, guys. And even when we do, kick him out or kick him over the cliff. He's a persistent cuss. He'll come back again. Don't you think that he won't come back? He wouldn't be doing his job if he didn't come back. But you have the full armor of God on. And you live and have your being in His might and in His power. And you can stand against that wily coyote. Amen? Amen. Praise God. He's taking us somewhere. Verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against the spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. Guys, I could preach and teach on that one verse all night. That one verse right there. There is so much in there. And I'll tell you what, if you can get revelation of this verse, it'll change your life. It'll change how you deal with people. It'll change your workplace. It'll change your situations with your neighbors and family members. Our war is not with people. It's not with people, and it's not with things. It's with the opposition, the devil and his cohorts. So many of God's people, good people, man, I'm talking Christians, are deceived in thinking that they have a people problem. Come on now, guys, let's get real right here. I want you to be able to get this because this made such a difference in my life when I got a hold of this. As a pastor, I meet people all the time, and I share the Scripture with them all the time. You don't have so much an issue with your husband and your wife as you do with the enemy who is influencing your husband and your wife. Because the Bible says here, not Pastor Chris, that we do not war with flesh and blood. Your neighbor that you think you have a problem with is flesh and blood. Your brother, sister, ex, kids, they're flesh and blood. You don't have so much a problem with them as you do with the principality and powers in dark places. Why is it so quiet, man? I hear people say all the time, I couldn't love that person. They're unlovable. He's sick. He's demented. Those are all attributes of the devil. Our Lord never thought that way. He came to deliver those people. When you recognize who is behind the ploy, when you recognize it's the wily coyote, behind the tormenting, behind the strife, behind the bitterness and the anger and everything else that goes with it, you can deal with it. I said, you can deal with it then. If you don't know where it's coming from or who's behind it, and I'm saying a large portion of the body of Christ is there. I was there. I'm preaching, teaching myself. You can never address the problem when you don't know who it is. If you don't know, and if you don't address the problem with people, will follow you wherever you go. You can't get away from it. And I haven't found too many places in the world where you can get away from people. Listen, guys, the problems you have with that spouse or that problem you have with your neighbor or the guy at work, and it just keeps reoccurring. You've been standing, maybe, and I'm done with it. I'm done dealing with him. I don't want nothing to do with him. I hate him. If you don't deal with this issue, it'll go to the next workplace. It'll go to the next neighbor when that one moves out. And because the Wile E. Coyote knows exactly how to get to you. He doesn't have to think up some new scheme. He knows how to influence, and he knows how to get you upset, to get you in strife. And why would he need something different? All he does is maybe put it in a different body. But if he knows how he can get to you, and he knows what upsets you, push your button, he's got you. And listen, guys, if you don't address it and you let that be played out, he'll steal, kill, and destroy. And there's a lot of people in the body of Christ. I didn't have this in my notes, but there's a lot of people in the body of Christ that have been stolen from, and they've been taken from, and they're on the verge of being killed, steal, kill, and destroy, be destroyed, because they haven't dealt with this problem. There's unforgiveness and bitterness and envy and strife. It tears people apart. It's sad, guys, but we see it all the time. Okay? The Bible says that you're not warring with flesh and blood, but you're warring with principalities and powers in dark places. Recognize who your enemy is and address it. Now, I also want to say that you don't stay in a relationship and allow yourself to be abused. We're not talking about that stuff. All right? But so many times people are blaming God and they're blaming the people and never addressing the issue behind the people. If you don't address it, it'll follow you wherever you go. Example of this, and I can't give you that example, I can keep moving on. An example of this in the Bible is Matthew 16:23. We're talking about Peter. And we're talking about Jesus. Peter was one of Jesus' disciples. And Peter says, you ain't going to go. You're not going to leave. You're not going to leave us. You're not going to heaven. And he turned around and said, get behind me, Satan. Remember that? He wasn't dealing with Peter. He was dealing with the principality and the power behind it. Peter just happened to be used. Listen, you and I, we've all been used by Wile E. Coyote. But when you're dealing with it, recognize who it is and know his tactics. I'll never forget, this is a real quick illustration. Man, we're running out of time. But I think this is powerful. I remember in the Gulf War, when that was taking place, I'd come home every day from work and I'd turn on the TV because I wanted to see what was happening. And I remember seeing those planes and they were shooting, this is the first Gulf War, and they were shooting all their targets and they were pinpointing it and boom, they were blowing up. And remember that war? We had very few casualties. Very, very few casualties. And I remember coming home one day and I turned on the television and they had Norman Schwarzkopf. Remember that big, burly Norman Schwarzkopf? He was the commander in chief. And they were doing an interview with him and they said, Storm and Norman, they said, why are we having such success with this war? Now remember, Norman Schwarzkopf, he was commander in Vietnam too. And they said, why are we having such success to where we're pinpointing the targets and so few casualties and we're in and out? And I'll never forget it. He stood up there and he said, because we know who our enemy is, we know what he has, where he's at, and what he can do. Unlike Vietnam, we didn't win that war. We didn't know if the enemy was a little old lady carrying a cart beside us or a kid in a little shack. And I'm telling you, that is such an illustration with us in the body of Christ is, and the Lord showed me that. And I'll never forget that that interview because God brought it to my remembrance and said it's the same way with our enemy in the war we're involved with today. If you don't know your enemy or who it is, You can't address it. And you won't win. You can't win when you don't know. Many in the Lord's army, us, are clueless to who's doing what and who they're fighting. Many are blaming God and questioning His will. No clue what to do. That would make it hard to stand when you didn't know who your enemy was, right? It'd make it very hard to stand in adverse situations and circumstances. Verse 13, therefore take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand an evil day, and having done all, to stand. The whole armor of God is His Word, and we are commanded again to take up the whole armor of God, His promises, which are yes and amen, and put them on. Get that Word, get it off the pages, get it in here, and put it down in our hearts. That's the full armor of God. That is the armor of God, God's Word, His promises. They're all yes and amen. They're powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. How are we going to do it? In His power and His might. Two more times He tells us to stand. We've got to keep moving on. Verse 14. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Notice the first word, stand. This is the fourth time He said for us to stand. The truth is your belt. Okay? It'll keep your pants up. So jerk the slack out of that thing, pull it up tight, keep your pants up, and keep you ready for wartime, because you're in a war. Okay? Righteousness, we all think of as right standing with God, and it is, but righteousness also enables us and equips us to think right, to talk right, and to act right. Well, if I could think right, talk right, and act right, then I could have the same results as Jesus had. Didn't He say to imitate Him? Didn't He say the works we'll do that He did, we will do, and greater works than these? How could I do that? By observing what He did, by observing what He said, by observing how He interacted with people. Okay? The righteousness of God. You and I have been made the righteousness of God. It is well within our power to think right, talk right, and act right, and have the same results as He. Verse 15, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, having shod or put on the Word, Proverbs tells us to wear the Word like a necklace or like a watch or like a bracelet. It tells us to keep that Word around our necks, keep it around us so we're constantly looking at it. I'm constantly looking at the Word. The Word's powerful. I need reminders. You get index cards. Put them on the bathroom mirror. Put them on the rearview mirror of your car. What God says about you and your situation so that you can stand. Amen? You've got to have that Word in front of you at all times. The preparation, I looked that up, the preparation of the gospel of peace. Preparation, this is interesting, I thought, refers to that which is already accomplished and ready. So, having shod your feet with the preparation which is already accomplished and already ready for you and I, God has set us up to be more than conquerors. Say, I believe it. I receive it. Amen. Verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, which with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Above all, this is the utmost importance. God wants to get this across to us. Taking the shield of faith. What's that, Pastor Chris? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. Faith is, I believe that you are who you said you are, God, and that you're a rewarder of those who diligently seek after you. I take my shield of faith and I can stand. Praise God. It's by faith, guys. It's by faith. Okay? And I want to make a point here. The shield is for the front. So many Christians get discouraged, back off, get complacent, apathy, withstanding. I'm not standing anymore. I've stood a long time. You don't know what I'm going through. I'm done standing. We're to take that shield. A shield is for the front. And we're to take it to the enemy. Right. We're not to stand back and wait till the battle's over or until he settles down or gives up. We're to take our feet that are shod with the gospel of peace. We're to gird up our waist with the truth. We're to be doing it in His power and might, and we're to be on the offense. We're to be moving forward and advancing and increasing in every area of our life. So many of us are just sitting back. and just hanging out. I stood, it didn't work for me. No, you tried it, it tried you, and you backed off. Wile E. Coyote won. That's not funny. We're to be more than conquerors, always triumphing, always having a victory. Just like David. You want a piece of me, Satan? Well, here I come. I'm coming, and you're going down. I'm telling you, if we get that attitude, guys, we'd be on the offensive instead of being on the defense. God never called us to be on the defense. We're to be taking it to Him. Verse 16, you will be able to quench all. You will be able. You will be able. Say, I am able to quench all. Say all. All the fiery darts of the enemy. Extinguish is to quench. It's to put out. I don't know about you. Got to wrap it up here real quick. Darts. I don't know if you ever played darts. But I'll tell you what, man. Somebody throws a dart at you. It hurts. I'm talking real darts. I mean, those little prickly things will hurt you, man. They never meant to be thrown at people. And then you put fire to them. Hey, that's exactly what the enemy does. I'll tell you what. You ever been hurt by the enemy? Wile E. Coyote ever get you? He's gotten me a few times. Hey, that's not pleasant. I don't like it. Do you? No, we don't like it. I'm going to end with this. Okay. We can stand. All right? God has given you the power and ability to stand. I have to leave on a light note. Okay? It's kind of maybe a little heavy, but you can do it. You can do it. Say, I can do it. I can stand through the power and might of God Almighty. I can stand. And here's what I want you to see is, in pastoring, I've found people at all different stages. And people come in, and I'll talk to them, and they've given up. And I've seen that as I talk to them, and even in my own life, that they were almost getting ready to go over top of that wall. And their breakthrough was just right there. And if they could see in the spiritual realm, they would see that their manifestation of what they've been standing and believing for was right there. And they gave up. Don't you know that our enemy, he wouldn't be doing his job right if he didn't give you an all-out assault right before you were ready to receive what you've been believing for. So when it's worse, and when it's the worst case scenario, and you think, wow, it's not going how I planned, and I've been standing for a long time, and it ain't working, you know how close you are to breakthrough? The enemy has just cranked it up to get you to back off. And we won't tolerate it anymore, right? Come on, and we ain't going to tolerate it anymore. And if you can't stand by yourself, you ask someone else to stand with you. We'll stand with you. That's what the church is for. That's what we're here for. We love you. We're here to help you stand. Maybe I'll need help standing someday. When you need help standing, ask for help. Come to church, man. Don't get disconnected. Stay here. Real quick, and then we're going to pray. I was in a prayer meeting. Jerry's going to kick me for this one. I was in a prayer meeting. This is in another church. And it was mostly elderly people, and I love praying, and I was going in there, and we were praying, interceding on behalf of a city, you know, our little town, and we were praying there, and it was a solemn prayer time, and we're going around the room, and everybody's praying. This dear lady was praying, it was her turn to pray, and she was praying scripture. Guys, have you ever got your words mixed up, like you prayed, and you got the first letter of one word mixed up with another one? This dear old lady's praying, and we're all, you know, we're praying in the spirit, and she's praying. And she said, "And above all, Lord, taking the shield of faith, which will be able to quench all the diarrhea farts of the wicked one." I'll tell you what, I couldn't keep it together. And my sister was right beside me, and we lost it. And the little lady, you know, she was like, oh, I'll stop right there. But you and I will be able to quench all the diarrhea farts of the Wile E. Coyote too. All right, guys. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for your truths. Thank you so much for your presence tonight and revealing yourself to us. Thank you for encouraging us and exhorting us and admonishing us that we can do it. For we can do all things through you, Lord, who strengthens us. We thank you and praise you. And Lord, we're always aware that there might be people here tonight that just come in off the street or just came from work or from wherever and maybe have no idea what we're talking about. Maybe have never accepted you. Maybe have never asked you for help. And this is the first time they've heard that. Lord, we want to recognize that. We want to be aware of that. We want to give them an opportunity to be able to receive this power, this might that we talked about tonight. We want to be able to give them an opportunity to receive salvation, to be in right standing with you, Father God, and also know that they would be able to spend eternity with you. So guys, you're not here by accident tonight. If there be someone here tonight that's never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, I'm telling you, tonight's your night. Tonight is your night. Don't let it pass. He brought you here for a reason, for such a time as this. And He wants you to know He loves you. He's for you. And He'll help you. And He'll help you to stand up tonight. He'll help you to make that decision. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to ask you, if you never made that decision, if you'd like to make that decision tonight, it's not difficult. It's easy. No one's going to single you out. No one's going to make you come forward. No one's going to know this except God and you. And I just ask you to please raise up your hand so I know if I need to pray with someone. Is there anyone here tonight who want to accept Jesus? Ask Him into their heart. Anyone at all? Okay, well, praise God. We're all family. That's a good thing.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray you were blessed by God's Word. For additional teachings, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.